Forgot to shut the door to the studio here, so the studio might sound just a little bit different for the moment. I'll get up. I was just busy going through some of those great news stories tonight at coasttocoastam.com. The new website, the newly revamped coasttocoastam.com. And boy, there's some interesting features for you if you are a Coast to Coast insider. If you sign up when you go onto the website, it's like magic. It opens up like track 9 3/4 in Harry Potter. It's just stuff it's right there staring at you and didn't even know it was there once you're a Coast to Coast insider at coasttocoastam.com. This is Ian Punnett in, and this is a night I've been actually preparing for a couple of weeks. Well, I may seem, take that back. I was reading an email. I was having an exchange with Jason Barry on back in, February, when he first told me about Render Unto Rome, The Secret Life of Money in the Catholic Church. You might remember Jason Barry, Vow of Silence was a book that landed him here on Coast to Coast a couple of years ago. And that's the book, sort of the definitive book of the Catholic priest sex scandal. He got the inside information on the structures, the people, the systems that allowed for this priest child abuse scandal, both for heterosexual and homosexual priests, to flourish, and then to be covered up, and then for the cover-ups to flourish. I mean, it was just, it's mind-boggling. And this is the kind of the same thing. This is a natural extension of that investigation. Jason Barry coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. In the book Render Unto Rome is about the secret life of money in the Catholic Church. What did it take to pay off all of these settlements into the millions? Over and over in this diocese and that diocese, what did it take to find the money to do that? What was the system? What is the system like all the way up to the top of the Vatican Bank? And that's the part that he was able to uncover, the complete lack of oversight that exists as people donate their money thinking that it's going to get used for one thing and having it completely rerouted for something else. And something that's just so mind-bogglingly evil sometimes. That is to say, money that was donated to help, you know, feed the poor and the starving and can be rerouted to pay for lavish dinners for priests, for bishops, for a princely lifestyle. Well, we'll get into that more coming up next hour, because there's something else that most people didn't know of how these settlements, once they were reached, how were they satisfied? What was the criteria? It's a staggering story tonight of secret money within the Catholic Church. Render Unto Rome next hour on Coast to Coast. This hour, we'll take your open line calls so you can go ahead and start buzzing in. And there are some terrific news stories tonight, including that vampire star that was found. And the world's shortest man, a photo you have to see at coasttocoastam.com. We'll get it all, including you. Just grab a phone. We'll get this first hour cranking. And an update, important update, on piracy on the high seas, which also ties back to the church. We'll get that with Captain Kelly Sweeney coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, you'll always find the most interesting stories gathered for you in one easy click, like the story in the news box tonight about a tiny English village, the latest community to be hit by the phenomenon known as the hum. Residents of Woodland in England claim that every night a noise permeates the air similar to the throb of a car engine. It's sometimes so strong that it even shakes the bed of one of the householders in this very small English town. We've seen this story. We've covered stories similar to it for years. Towns that have got either the kind of hum, kind of a low rumble, and it just drives you crazy. And I can understand that, because I have tinnitus. I have a particularly difficult form of tinnitus. And that's what it's like all the time. It's a whistle with a little bit of a buzz to it, and it never goes away. And I think that's the chronic nature of this hum in this town. It's just, as soon as sundown comes, you know you're going to hear it again. It'll be the last thing you hear before you go to bed and the first thing you hear when you wake up in the morning. And that's its own kind of hell. It really is. So my thoughts go out to them, to this place. I guess we could call it, I guess we could not call it tinnitus. We could call this town-itis. They have town. And that wouldn't be bad, at least in one sense. As somebody who has tinnitus, at least somebody else would be able to hear it other than me. I'd be able to explain what I'm going through. There's also a story there in the news at coasttocoastam.com about scientists that have created a cow that produces, quote unquote, human milk. You go to the details and find out more about that there. But, you know, I think that's one end of the breakthrough. I guess the other end of the breakthrough would be when they can create humans that produce cow's milk. Right. I mean, that wouldn't be bad, just, you know, for your cereal in the morning, whatever. Mysterious spots on King Tut's tomb suggest a hasty burial. Yeah. You know, they were ditching the evidence. Something happened. And then if you go to coasttocoastam.com, there's a story about the vampire stars that were found and the world's shortest man. He's a Filipino John Ray Balawing. It's expected to be named the world's shortest man on Sunday, which is already, in some places already Sunday, when he reaches the qualifying age of 18. He is just a little above 23 inches tall. Pretty amazing. And at 23 inches tall, too, maybe that's finally somebody we found for Snooki. Finally. We could pair him up and make a great episode of Jersey Shore. So we're going to grab Captain Kelly Sweeney here, too, because there's another story that hasn't really made the mainstream news yet that ties into both our guest coming up next hour, Render Unto Rome, The Secret Life of Money in the Catholic Church, Jason Berry, and an ongoing story we've been covering here on Coast to Coast about piracy on the high seas. Do we have Captain Kelly Sweeney up? Okay, go ahead and bring him up here because... I'll let him describe it. Good evening, Captain. Ahoy.
Ahoy, Ian, to you and all the Coast listeners.
All right, so this is not a story I was expecting tonight. I always enjoy the piracy updates when I hear more and more ships are carrying heavy arms or they're going to be, you know, creating these armadas out there to fight piracy. And we know that despite the efforts of many international navies, we still haven't been able to thwart all of the piracy that's out there. I don't know that this new development you're going to tell us about, I don't know that it's going to help, but it sure is interesting to see the source of that.
Well, piracy is so bad now that even the Catholic Church is calling for protective measures like armed guards or arming crews on board merchant vessels. That's how bad it is. And it's actually piracy now is at a record high.
So the Vatican is getting involved in this, even though there is no Vatican Navy, right? I mean, there's nothing, they can't do anything about it. They're just encouraging other people out there to try to stop piracy. It's something
right.
Now, do we know why now? Was there something that affected the Vatican that led them to speak out more recently?
Well, I think that it has to do with the increasingly brutal tactics that the pirates are using now. They're torturing mariners and killing them as a way of putting pressure on the shipping companies to pay ransoms quickly. And I think that's what we see here with the Vatican coming out and saying the world's governments, the world's shipping companies, ship owners need to do what they can and do more to stop piracy. I think that's what spurred it. Now, along that line, a few days ago, there was some very good news that the International Maritime Organization officially approved the use of armed guards onboard commercial vessels, but only off Somalia. Where right now, at this very moment, 522 of my fellow mariners are being held at gunpoint.
Still.
Still.
And it's an astounding number, but, you know, as I understand it, and you can correct this, is that unfortunately the problem isn't limited to the coast off of Somalia, because the Somalians are going as far as they possibly can out into the international shipping lanes to go find their victims.
That's
I mean,
right.
They'll go find you. So you don't have to come to them. Don't worry, they'll come find you.
All the Indian Ocean now, for a good portion of the Indian Ocean, all the way over to the Seychelles, is basically pirate area. It's rampant over there. And, you know, mariners, seafarers like myself, we're all very pleased that the International Maritime Organization has now approved the use of armed guards on board, but only off there. They need to go further, because piracy is rampant everywhere, as you point out. South America, there has been a number of hits recently along the west coast of South America. South China Sea is still a hotbed of piracy. It's actually escalating there right now. And we want to, seafarers, we want to make it worldwide that the use of armed guards is okay on board merchant vessels.
Okay, so... and by the way, we're lining up the open line calls right now, but I want to ask you before we go, is there a strong Catholic tradition amongst the pirates? I mean, do we know whether or not the Pope's words, as valued as they may be just to even having been said, whether they would carry any particular weight to any of the pirates who would then...
The pirates over in Somalia are basically Muslim.
They're
right?
All Muslim. Okay, they're all Muslim.
Right.
Okay, that would in Somalia. But are there other places around the world where, taking, you know, the Somali thing off the table, are there other places where there are maybe at least in a Catholic tradition, a country with a recognition or an understanding of the importance of the words of the Pope?
Well, I think that of course, South America has a strong Catholic tradition, and that's a hotbed in at least
of piracy. Is it really
piracy?
Yeah, where in South America?
Well, Colombia, the entrance to Colombia, off the coast, Suriname. You know, that area up near the equator, where there's a lot of commercial shipping that goes through the canal, and it all kind of converges there from north and south. And so there's a lot of vessels transiting South America, heading up the coast towards the canal, that are routinely hit.
Yeah, and the message here from the pontiff is, to the pirates, cease their criminal activities, recognize the deep pain they are causing to seafarers and their families, and to treat them with respect and humanity. I hope that makes a difference.
Well, it's a nice sentiment, and it'd be nice if the pirates were just to read that, Ian, and say, that's the
We've
end of
been
it.
So but, wrong.
But,
what were we thinking to be pirates?
That's right. But I will say that calling the people to prayer, I know that a lot of the Coast listeners, over the years since you and I have been talking about piracy, since my experience a number of years ago, that they have emailed and called and sent their prayers out for the mariners. And that's heartwarming. I passed that on to a number of my shipmates and colleagues.
Good.
And that means a lot, but it, in and itself is not enough.
Well,
and that's why when the International Maritime Organization finally caved in to the call, and, you know, it's only about 9 to 10%, maybe 15% of the vessels right now carry armed guards or armed crews going through that area. But because they've always used the excuse, the ship owners, well, it's not officially approved. Now they don't have that excuse, at least off of that area. And all of us are going to be checking to see if the companies are now going to still use that as a tactic, what other tactic they're going to use to not pony up and get armed guards on board these ships.
Right. Well, again, then, interesting development. The Vatican calls for more government cooperation to end piracy, and that includes arming ships in a preventative way, hopefully to stave off more kidnapping victims, as Captain Kelly Sweeney reminds us, are still out there and still needing care. And thank you so much, Captain Sweeney. I look forward to hearing another update coming up soon as you keep track of that story and so many more from the, well, I guess we could say from the Holy See, right? The Vatican, the Holy See.
Well, thank you, Ian. It's great being on with you. Smooth sailing. We talk again.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, buddy. And we'll get to some open line calls coming up on Coast to Coast again. Render unto Rome the secret life of money in the Catholic Church, Jason Berry coming up after the top of the next hour on Coast to Coast, but we got a few open line calls to get to before we can get there. And we start with the west of the Rockies. Jerry is in Fort Bragg, California on Coast to Coast AM. Jerry?
Hi, yeah. And Fort Bragg in California is named for the same Braxton Bragg that Fort Bragg, North Carolina is named for. That's an interesting history you might want to check out sometime.
I would. Is it also an official fort or just the name of the town?
Well, it was a fort that basically moved the Indians into a zone here, the Pomo Native Americans, and early on in the 1800s. And sort of a sad history, actually. But
right. I would imagine it is. So it's kind of the town retains the name of what was originally a military installation named Fort Bragg there.
Right. And it became a lumber mill. And now that that industry is pretty much gone, it's kind of a nice, quiet place.
You don't hear the sound of the saws going anymore, do you?
No, and no smokestacks and any of that. It's pretty much gone.
Well, don't worry, the saws
regrowing and filling in the forest with the redwoods.
The saws are still going in my head with the tinnitus. So I still hear them.
I thought you, when you mentioned the hum, you were going to go into the forbidden story about Catholic priests and pedophilia. But
No reason to go there. No.
Well, that's where I was going to stop.
Oh, no. Okay. You should have stopped earlier. All right.
But
so
anyway, we had some effects from the solar flare here.
Oh, did you?
Radio across the board on AM and FM was affected. Stations were not. Pretty rugged terrain here in remote area of California. And so there's transmitters for the community radio stations. Like they'll have two transmitters and a repeater or two in Humboldt and Mendocino counties. I could pick up nothing more than the local repeater. Then normally we could pick up the transmitter signals reasonably well, but they have the repeater so we can get stereo on those. And nothing from Humboldt County I could pick up on the commercial or radio stations. Then in the evening, we had, and there was a radio or TV news reports on cable that said that there may be radio interference and electrical transmission line interference. Well, PG&E had an hour-long power hit about 15 minutes before sunset. It hit at about 8:25, and it lasted until about 9:15. I called PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, and asked them if that transmission line problem may have had anything to do with this X flare, this extreme solar flare. And they wouldn't confirm or deny, and we just can say it's transmission line problems. Of course,
right.
You know, they're on the National Transportation Board radar right now with San Bruno and not having had proper records or training for that explosion in the Bay Area a few months back. And so their record up here, along with having brought the whole Aaron Brockovich story in Hinckley in Southern California, their record with safety and transparency is not too good. So I wasn't surprised that I didn't get much information out of them.
But
the fact that
still,
it happened just before sunset, I think maybe all the extra extreme stuff that was going on during the day and all the computer transfers of energy dropping towards sunset may have caused the system to collapse from exhaustion. It went, just kind of died on the spot there.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting because I even went looking for it to see whether there had been anybody else that had been affected by that because I was expecting GPS interference. I was on a trip. I was on a car trip recently, and I was heading to an abbey, actually. And as I was driving to a sort of remote part of Minnesota, I had GPS interference. And I wondered whether that was the same thing, the solar flare that you got too. And I went to look it up, but I couldn't get any confirmation of that. Andy's in Long Island, New York. And we'll get Andy in before the bottom of the hour, but more open lines coming up for the rest of this hour before our guest, Render Unto Rome, coming up. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Doing all right. Go ahead. Where do you want to take
us? I wanted to ask you one thing, but something else came to mind while I was waiting. The first thing I wanted to ask you was, what happened to crypto news?
You know, I was just thinking about crypto news tonight, honestly.
And the Watchtower. Remember the Watchtower?
I did. I did all that. I had a lot of fun with that. You know, I think it was just a cycle. I still sort of do crypto news. I did obviously four or five stories there at the top of the hour. I don't label it the same way, and I don't produce it the same way. But yeah, I had fun with that for a long time. So thank you for remembering it.
Yeah, the other thing, we ought to bring it back. I miss it.
You know what? Here's the bottom line. Somebody stole the name. And they were using it for they were using it for something else, and I just didn't, for me, I didn't want to get into a war of like the crypto news war. So somebody had taken it, was using it for a blog, and then I think there was a Facebook page called Crypto News, and so I kind of dropped it when I was. It looked like I was stealing from them. But you had a quick thought other than that, Andy?
The other thing was very interesting name, by the way, Townitis.
Townitis. That's what Townitis. I'm going with.
You might be closer to reality than you realize. Also, yeah. I'm just curious. Did you know? You said you've had it all your life.
What's that? Tinnitus?
Yeah.
Oh, I've only developed it the last 3 or 4 years.
Right. Now, is there a coincidence between you developing the tinnitus and your pursuit of spiritual through the ministry teaching and all that?
No.
Stuff?
No. Although
there was no coincidence. You didn't notice that in the timeline.
No, but the tinnitus in my head does account for my growth in appreciation of the music of Beethoven, because he had such terrible tinnitus. So I figure I'm listening to the music that he actually heard in his head as he heard it. You know, Beethoven wrote these pieces with tinnitus. I'm hearing them with tinnitus. We are one. Although mine isn't nearly as bad as his. So I take small blessing on that one. More open line calls coming up next. It's tonight. It's us on Coast to Coast. So we got a couple of open line numbers for you right now. If you want to get in on an open line segment here, go ahead and take one of the wildcard lines. Two of those are open. Go grab one of those. We'll get you in there before the top of the hour on this little moonlight drive. And before we get to our main guest tonight, you just hop in the front and tell us what you're thinking about, and we'll get to you coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponnett. All right, so more open line calls, as many as we can squeeze in before the top of the hour on Coast to Coast. And David is in Atlanta, Georgia, somewhere in the ATL on Coast to Coast. Hey, David.
Hey, hello, Ian. Actually, I'm listening to you on WDUN in Gainesville, really good station.
Aren't you really getting it out of Gainesville? Because it's too hard to get it on WGST in Atlanta?
Yeah. I'm sort of out of range. I'm listening to you on the FM.
You're out of range of WGST if you're in Buckhead.
Yeah, it's not that powerful. But
Not at night, it isn't. It's a great station, but it always had that limitation.
I like that one too. Cool. I want to talk about the Georgia Lottery a minute.
Hope Scholarship?
That's the great part of it, but there's other issues with it that actually impair my freedom. First thing I would say is they advertise into a closed market, so marketing is for coercion. And not to get market share.
All right, we got to explain that just for other people to follow. I understand what you're saying, but you're speaking a little codedly. So you were talking about how they advertise heavily for the Georgia State Lottery on radio and television and in the newspapers.
Number one institution.
Right, it's huge. But the more that people spend on the Georgia State Lottery, the more that goes into the Hope Scholarship, which is a creative way to help provide funding to
students.
That's true,
but they have no competition, see, so they control the market and advertise. And remember, AT&T couldn't do that when they had a monopoly, and neither could Southern Bell when they had a monopoly. You can't advertise into it because you're not going for market share. You're just going to create new players.
Right.
Okay, so that's a little dubious because they use Joe Camel-like commercials to do it.
They're very coercive commercials, but again, doesn't it – since it benefits directly back to the taxpayer, it's the taxpayer's money that provides the advertising, taxpayers receive ultimately the benefit of that. Isn't that a little bit different than a private corporation in a monopoly?
Well, philosophically, anything justifies the end result. The lottery before, when it was ran by mobs, it was a racket. And when you look at it, it's all great, and I'm for the lottery. Don't get me wrong. I believe people have a right to play the lottery. It works great. But what I want to mention is the fact that I like horse racing and betting on horses and owning horses, and I can't bet horses in Georgia, and it's a felony for me to do so. Now, here's where the Georgia Lottery overreaches its constitutional mandate. Advertising is legal, by the way, in the amendment that allows it. It goes into the Mega Million and Powerball pools, which are across state lines, and they're pari-mutuel commingled wagering pools.
It's like a horse race betting pool. Yeah.
And
that's true. That's the model.
Pools, it's not a felony. But for me to bet a horse race, it's a felony. And that's where I have the issue. They need to legalize horse racing in Georgia.
Well, here's the that doesn't break my heart, and I understand what you're saying a lot better. There's all sorts of weird little wrinkles like that all around the country. You'd be surprised, maybe. I don't think this is true in Georgia. I don't remember it from the many years I lived there, but in places like Minnesota, there are state-owned liquor stores where the state owns the liquor store, the only liquor store in a community. And that was, again, it's looked upon as a way to regulate the income from that particular business and make it turn around and become a benefit to the taxpayer. And I just, yeah, I'm with you. I believe in more freedom, not less, and, you know, less government and, you know, not more regulation. And I'm with you on that. Those may be really, those should be market forces maybe driving some of that, especially if the idea of being able to have horse racing or being able to bet paramutually. And I don't know a lot about that, but I know that in Minnesota, which is, again, where I live now, is they're really pushing the racino concept. And in other places that have done it, this is kind of breakthrough, where any place they already have horse racing, they're going to allow to have casino-style gambling. And that is its own controversy, which we won't get into here. But again, comes down to what's government's job here. And to me, it's the government's job is to create and protect as much freedom as possible. First-time caller line, Bear is in Bakersfield, California, on Coast to Coast. Bear?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Go ahead.
I've been listening to Coast since back in Whitley Strieber and Art Bell days, so I go back a ways.
Good old Whitley Strieber.
I'm sorry?
I said good old Whitley Strieber. He just interviewed a friend of mine the other night on his Dreamland show. He interviewed a guy named Gary Jensen, wrote a book called Holy Ghosts. It was a good show.
Oh, yeah. It's still going good. Anyway, you're a good host. I wanted to say that first of all. I really appreciate your work.
Thank you.
I heard the subject you were going to talk about tonight, and I just wanted to bring up on a personal level so you don't exclude anybody, that it's not only the Catholic Church that is doing this to children. I think it's pretty much across the board. In my case, it was the Protestant Church.
I'm sure that there are examples of that. I mean, this is not really the show tonight. We're not going to be talking about the priest sex abuse, just so you know. And I'm really sorry it happened to you, and it shouldn't happen to anybody. The great difference in the way what happened with the Catholic Church as opposed to other denominations was the lack of oversight. So in Protestant churches tend to be built along a congregational model. So there you have, it's much harder for pastors to hide after having committed crimes. It's not that they didn't or hadn't over the years. What's harder would it be for a pastor to survive in a congregational model and go from church to church to church to church to church in the cases of this creating hundreds of victims. That it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It was just harder for that to happen because there's just more oversight, and there's not the ability that exists in the Christian churches anyway that are Protestant. There really isn't the ability to hide underneath under the power and the prestige of that church, which is what happened in so many of the cases here. No, but tonight we're talking about money. Tonight it's really about the secret life of money in the Catholic Church, which also has that same characteristic, a lack of oversight. There's a lot of princes within the system, and it's some of the ways in which the money was handled. I didn't know about this. Maybe you did, but I don't think anybody could have known everything until this new book, Render Unto Rome, came out, and we'll talk with Jason Berry coming up. First, Eli is in Medford on Coast to Coast. Hey, Eli.
Hi. I'm calling about the so-called Protect IP Act, which is about regulating the Internet, and it's going to make it a lot easier for the government to shut down websites that they don't like, alternative websites, political opponents, that kind of stuff. And my senator, Ron Wyden, here in Oregon, after it passed, he single-handedly put a hold on it, which is some procedure that I don't quite understand, but it stopped it long enough for y'all people listening to this to call in and get your senators to vote against it.
Okay.
So it doesn't get passed. And you can look it up online, Protect IP Act, and find out how bad it is.
Well, let me just say, I disagree, because I saw the headline said Protect IP, and I thought it said Protect Ian Punnett, and I am all for that. So I say, if that's what it is, if it's Protect Ian Punnett, please vote for that. Please call your senator and vote for the Protect Ian Punnett Act. If it's not that, then okay, then I'm on board. And by all means, stop that. Zach is in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, on Coast to Coast, on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Zach?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I got two show suggestions for you.
Suggestions. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a call right now, so my voice
it's okay. Just want to make sure I understood.
First one is on the legalization of weed, and the second one is on the HARP weapon.
Well, back up for a second. The legalization of weed. I don't know how to do that show anymore. I've done it a couple of times. I don't know what more needs to be said. I mean, it's, you know.
But the governor's to pass because it's safer than cigarettes and alcohol in Avro, Wisconsin, when both of those are in heavy use here.
Wisconsin being the state with the greatest number of bars per capita than any other state in the United States. Correct, Zach?
By far, yeah. We have something like 100,000, 120,000 bars in Wisconsin.
Right.
I mean, you go to population St. Cloud, which is a couple miles from where I live, population of 800, and there's like 5 or 6 bars there.
Right. Yeah. So and by the way, that's over 100,000, you know, bars, which means like 400,000 TV sets. And in Wisconsin, not one of those is tuned to the Minnesota Vikings. It's just wrong, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you're more likely to find a Minnesota Viking than a Chicago Bear.
That's true. So all for that. And then the second show idea you wanted us to pursue?
Was on the HAARP weapon, HAARP.
Yeah. Right.
Control the weather and... I think
I just heard George do one not too long ago, and there was one on a replay from Art, and so that pops up from time to time. I think we remain interested in what the potential is of HAARP. So I think you'll still hear that from. In fact, if you haven't had a chance to catch all the shows, always go to Coast Insider. If you're not a member, join, and then you can keyword search for something like that, and you can find shows you might have missed. Brandon is in Seattle, Washington, on Coast to Coast. Brandon?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right. We got a little time here before the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a hockey team out here in Bellevue, and some strange things have been going on.
With the hockey team?
Yeah. Our goalie claims that he stopped 5 goals, and it said that we scored 6. And, you know, the other guy claimed that he lost his skates after the game, and... You know, we just lost a game last week. We went 18-0. And I think there's some weird stuff going around Bellevue, Washington. You know, we got Microsoft out there, Xbox Live.
And tie them all together for me. What do you think? Give me an operating theory of how Microsoft, Xbox Live, you're missing skates, and inconsistency in the scoring could all tie together.
Well, Skate King's pretty old. Right off 124th there on the 520. They're doing a lot of construction there. 405.
Okay, but how do they all connect together? What's your point?
All right there. Microsoft is right in Redmond, right off 148, and they've been doing some weird stuff out there.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just kind of wondering if anybody else has called in and, you know.
And can't find their skates. I'm trying to get to a bottom line. If you call in, if you can't find your skates and you live in the Redmond, Washington area, I need more details on that. So I'll have to look that up and I have to kind of see how that all might be playing together. Josh is in Reading, Pennsylvania, on Coast to Coast before we get to the top of the hour, and Render Unto Rome coming up on Coast to Coast. Josh?
Yeah, it's Ian. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you about something that I experienced late at night. I was I was actually listening to Coast AM in the dark with the door open, and something illuminated the entire living room. And I thought maybe the TV turned on by itself somehow. And I go to the door, and it looks like, you know, somebody walking around with a flashlight. And then I realize that there's no arm or hand attached to the flashlight. It was a blue orb, and it was pulsating and moving around the room. And it wasn't, again, you know, like normal light where it's against the wall.
Right.
It was self-contained, and it was
ambient.
It was moving.
Yeah, and the orbs, as people report them, generally is that they don't cast a beam of light like a flashlight
exactly.
would, where it would create shadows, but rather it's just totally ambient in every direction simultaneously.
Yeah, and then it seemed intelligent too, as if it didn't know that I was looking at it. And then once I was going to confront it, it started moving around all rapid and crazy, and it just as soon as I went to go get it, it was gone.
Well, so you're not the only one who's reported it. Why you, do you think?
I don't know. It appeared out of nowhere. I mean, I saw it from the corner of my eye. It just came out of nowhere and just got big and just started moving around, and I just can't explain what it is. And you know, but it definitely was, you know, it didn't seem, you know, evil or anything like that, but it was just some sort of phenomenon that I can't explain.
Well, the reason why I asked you that question is because with other people with whom I have spoken about an orb experience, they have afterward you kind of hinted at it a little bit, but they had a very specific emotional reaction to it. Some felt like this was a probe. They could feel it sort of almost assessing what was in the area or what was on this guy or the person who's calling in. Others felt a real sense of benevolence, that it was uh-huh. just looking after them and not at all there to cause any harm. It wasn't, if you will, like a beam of light from some intergalactic magnifying glass, like you're some ant on the sidewalk or something, that it was there to harm you. And so that's why I was curious if you could categorize the feeling that you had afterward. What would that feeling be?
You know, I was still convinced that somebody had broken into the house with a flashlight.
Right.
And it took me a long time to come to terms with what I actually saw, because it just doesn't make sense in reality.
Right, but if I were to hypnotize you and have you go back to that moment, that one moment emotionally, what did you feel after the orb encounter? You felt fear? You felt what?
I kind of felt like I was, like it was something special. But,
that was interesting. Well, very good.
You know,
I appreciate you telling the story. I'm going to try and get in one other Josh before the top of the hour. Thanks for putting orbs back out there again. And other people who have had an orb experience are nodding along going, it's like the weirdest thing ever, but that's exactly what happened to me. Josh is in Lafayette, Louisiana, or Lafayette, as we say in Tennessee. Hey, Josh.
Hi, how you doing, Ian?
Good, doing all right. We got a minute here for you. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I was driving along, and I heard you mention you had tinnitus. And
yeah.
I'm a hearing specialist, so that kind of piqued a professional curiosity.
Oh, good.
What kind of sounds are you hearing?
I hear a whistle I hear like a buzzing whistle sound.
A buzzing whistle sound. So
yeah.
Pretty broad spectrum, or is it more high pitch?
Oh, very high pitch.
A high pitch, okay. Have you ever had a hearing test?
Oh, brother, have I had hearing tests.
So
I've been hearing loss? Oh, yeah, I have hearing loss in both ears, and then the tinnitus is getting louder, although I don't lose as much hearing. The tinnitus is getting louder.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been through, I've had all the CAT scans and PET scans, and
right.
I've had, they did all the standard things looking for tumors and looking for any anomalies in the structure of the ear. I'm
right.
currently being treated by an audiologist who has been, we've been using these brain techniques to try to retrain the experience. Right. Do you have any other recommendations for people that suffer from tinnitus?
Well, in the field, a lot of people have or don't have, it kind of depends on the person and the level of tinnitus and the level degree of hearing loss, but a lot of people are helped by either hearing aids or specifically tinnitus maskers. And what a tinnitus masker is basically something that creates a frequency right. to kind of counteract the frequency that's being created by your brain or in your cochlea. Right. And, you know, it's a process and it helps some people, but I mean, it sounds like you're like pretty far up there on like an eight or between like an 8 and a 10 with your tinnitus.
Well, here's what I know. I've been told the next stop for me is hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're past the idea of a masker. But hearing aids is something that's currently under discussion. And that was, that is not what I was expecting out of this year, but it's probably coming. And in the meantime, I tell you, I just try to fill my ears with great radio, and tonight will be no exception. Render unto Rome, the secret life of money in the Catholic Church. It's one of those, you got to hear it to believe it shows coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.